in our study on the book of Galatians. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. That's where we're at. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat, in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we would, that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Help us to receive it as it is your word. May we learn today and put into practice those things we learn for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We will title this message, God's Chosen Team. God's Chosen Team. Before we get into these verses 6 through 10, we looked at verses 1 through 5 last time. But I want to bring to remembrance, it's been a couple weeks since we've been here, some of the points Paul is making thus far. Paul has continually, through chapter 1, made references to his apostleship. He was not called by men. He was not placed in the apostleship by men or a group of men. He did not get the gospel from men. He's made this clear. Christ personally taught Paul the truths that Paul now preaches. Christ personally called Paul to the office of an apostle. And we see in chapter 1 that Paul proclaims that if anyone else preaches another gospel, which is not another gospel, there's only one gospel, if you deviate from the gospel in any way, causing people to trust in something else besides Jesus Christ, or Jesus plus something, that's what they were doing here, then they are to be accursed. He pronounces a curse upon that person or those people. We get into chapter 2, and Paul is rehearsing in their ears, or on paper, the events that took place in Acts chapter 15. We looked at Acts chapter 15 last time, when they met together in Jerusalem with the elders of the church to confirm, was salvation by the grace of God alone, or was it by grace and works? Do you have to be circumcised? And of course, if y'all remember, Paul brought someone with him whose name was Titus, who was a Greek, a Gentile, who had not been circumcised according to the law of Moses, yet it was evident that God had saved his soul, and that he was serving Christ out of love and reverence for Christ. So, the Jerusalem Council got together, and they said that salvation is by the grace of God alone. The free grace of God. We can put that word in there. You can't earn it. Listen, you cannot earn God's favor. Amen. We don't work to get saved, and we don't work to stay saved. We do work. We ought to work for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's out of love for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. Not for ourselves. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're not trying to make something about us. Paul could have done that. I know we discussed that. Paul could have become a millionaire if he wanted to. But he didn't do that. His life was not about himself. When Paul left this world, do you know what he had in his possession? Do you know what he had that belonged to him? If Timothy made it before Paul was beheaded, he had a coat and some parchments. That was it. Oh, but what kind of riches did he have in glory? Amen. I'm not talking about gold and those things, but treasures in heaven. What kind of treasures did Paul have on, or did Paul view on this earth? Doing that which was for the Lord. He told the churches, he said, you're my treasure. You're my crown. You're the jewel in my crown. You are. People, churches, ministry. That's what Paul was doing. Back in Galatians, Paul is again going over these verses of the council in Jerusalem. So that the Galatians will see and understand that biblical salvation is not by any kind of works which man can do, but by the free grace of God. At this gathering, in verses 6 through 10, we'll see this, there were certain people. As Paul says in verse 9, that appeared to be pillars in the church that had came together to clarify this truth. These men who came to this conclusion were some of the 12 apostles, not all of them, because if you remember Acts 15, all of them were not there. They were pillars in the church. This means that their words were weighty. When they spoke, you actually stopped to listen. Their words were weighty because their words lined up with the rest of the Scriptures, and their life also lined up with the Scripture. That's a big difference. You find somebody that throws cussing fits and acts like the heathen, the world, and then tries to tell you about Jesus Christ, you don't listen to them, do you? Their words are not weighty. The authority they had, these pillars, these apostles, was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not self-appointed either. If you go back, and I know we've already done this, look in the Gospels, you see where Christ prayed all night, and that morning, out of the disciples that were there, He chose 12 to be His apostles. He chose 12 of them. Christ personally called and appointed them, just like He did with Paul, same thing. And one of the points I'm making here is that we must be careful that we don't get wrapped up in who people are. Paul says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul did not show up there and then was intimidated. He just said, oh man, here comes Peter! Look at Andrew and James and Jenna. Wow, man, can I get y'all's autograph? Look, here's my Bible. Stop, put your name right here. And put your verse right there too. Come on. Yeah. I got the autograph. Paul didn't do that. Paul didn't take him and say, man, there's Peter up there, there's James up there. We usually get wrapped up in who people are at times. You've got to understand the gospel message never changes for anyone or because of anyone. Nor, this is important, y'all hear me, nor do we sit down and be quiet about the gospel or sharing the gospel because of the stature of someone else. You follow Paul's life, you see kings, queens, princes, guards, slaves. It didn't matter who it was. Paul shared the gospel to everybody. We are not in competition with each other. Some of us, if you listen to preaching, you probably have what we call favorite preachers. My favorite preachers are preachers I can listen to, and I know they're teaching me truth. That's what I look for in a preacher. I don't have to have a name, or some big name. But I want somebody that I know is teaching truth from the Word of God, breaking it down. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm feeding upon the Word, not because it's who they are, but the message that they are proclaiming from the Word of God. They don't have to have a PhD in front of or behind their name. I don't know where it goes. Amen. But I want them to teach the Word accurately, correctly. Amen. For the glory of God. We are not in competition with each other, with other churches, with other preachers. All who are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that all who are saved, listen, we have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. If you're saved, the same Holy Spirit that was in Paul and Peter and James and John is the same Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. All who are saved have been empowered by the same Holy Spirit to proclaim the Scriptures to the world. We know that no one today qualifies for the office of an apostle, right? Yet we are all sent ones by God. Not all people are called or qualified to the office of a pastor, right? Yet we are all given the same message to proclaim to the world. And this message is a perfect message. Looked at that last time, didn't we? It's perfect because it comes from God. Romans 1:16 tells us that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation of everyone who believes. We preach the gospel to this lost and dying world. Verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Look in verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So again, the same one who worked through Peter is the same one that worked through Paul. And it's the same one that's working through you and I today. The words wrought effectually and was mighty in verse 8, look at it, wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. This is the Greek word energio. Energio, I'm not sure how to say it exactly. But this is what it means. It means to work, to be active, to produce an effect in persons. This is someone else who is working inside of that person. And is producing an effect in and through that person. Who is doing that? It is God. Who is it that gave Peter the message to proclaim? It is God. Who gave Paul the message? It is God. See, the point is that, listen, yes, thank God for people, and I'm thankful that God uses you and I for His service, for His ministry. But all the glory and honor is not to people. It's to God. He's the one that does the work. And if He doesn't do the work, I don't care how great of a speaker you are. If God's not working, then nothing's going to happen. On the flip side of that, you can be the worst speaker in the world. And if God's working, He's going to work in you and through you and others. He's going to do it for His glory. God saves people. God gives gifts to His people. And God uses people whom He has given gifts to in and through His church for His glory. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, just one book over, a few pages. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. God is so good to us, folks. He gives us that which we need to serve Him. And He gave some apostles and some prophets, verse 11 of Ephesians 4, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what has He done? He's given these to the church. Okay? There are no more apostles, are there? Not for the office of the apostle. What does the church have today? The last two, look at that, pastors and what? And teachers. That's the main thing that's in the church. Number verse 12. Why did He give these to the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is not an easy job. Left to ourselves, it can't be done. We are in need, and we are dependent upon the Lord. How long do the pastor teachers need to pastor and teach? Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Has anybody got here? No. You know what that means? The pastor's work is never done. Amen. Never completed. He continually teaches and preaches the Word of God until he dies. And if it gets to the point where he can't teach and preach no more, God would change his ministry to something else. Possibly praying without ceasing continually for the church. Much work to be done. This work to be done again cannot be done in the power of the flesh. It must be done by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God in and through Christ's church. Now, why is it that the pastor teachers continue pastoring and teaching and preaching and building the body up? Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Folks, they got some bad people out in this world. If you don't believe me, just watch the news for about 10 minutes. If it takes that long. There are bad people in the world who claim to be a Christian. There are bad people in the world who claim to be a preacher of the Word of God, who stand on pulpits all across America. They don't care if you're edified in the Word of God. They don't care if you're built up in the faith. All they care about is that you worship them. And if you worship them, then you will give of your time and your tithes and your talents to them. And that's what they want. They want to fleece you like sheep. Take from you and not give to you. That's not someone called by God, folks. That's not someone who's part of God's chosen team. That's someone who acts just like their father, the devil. Who was a liar from the beginning, the Bible says. A deceiver and a murderer. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, very important there, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a church that is maturing, constantly maturing, as people mature, they disciple others. As they mature, they disciple others. Everyone's proclaiming the gospel, and we're all the disciples being discipled. A growing, a working church for the honor and glory of God. The point I'm making is not just one person or two people. We're all in this together. Amen. We're all teaching and preaching the Word of God to everybody that we come in contact with, if possible. I understand that you can't walk up to somebody and start proclaiming the gospel. Can, but it doesn't always turn out well, does it? But the point I'm making is we should seek opportunity. Beg God, as Brother Jeremy was praying a while ago, beg God for a divine appointment to be able to proclaim Christ to this lost and dying world. We're all to do this. We encourage them to join a local church. And well, what a blessing it is to be a part of a local church where we all come together for the glory of God. We worship Him, as I've already mentioned. And, you know, when times get hard, we just had a hurricane come through. What a blessing to see everybody check on each other. How you doing? What you need? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing? And then someone saying, well, I need this or I need that. Well, let's take care of it. Let's get it done. We help the brethren, but not just the brethren. We help those in our communities. We stretch out, and the whole time we're helping. Listen, we're doing this not so we can say, look what I did, put my name in the paper. Or people take the phone today and get selfies. Just for self-glorification. The only time I send selfies is to my wife, and it's usually to scare her. And that's about twice a year. Scares me too. We don't do what we do to get accolades, to have someone lift us up on a pedestal. We do what we do for the honor and glory of God. We've also got to be careful. Listen, there are people, there are ministries whom God has blessed that they are able to reach out around the world. For instance, we use Ligonier Ministries. We get a lot of stuff from them. And what a blessing that the Lord has grown them in such a way that they can send teachings of the Word of God around the world. They send stuff to our military. The chaplains that request it, they send it to our military. Well, that's important, isn't it? I have a son in the military. I asked him, I said, have you gone to church? And he says, no, I haven't. And I ask him why. He says, it's terrible. He's not saved. Jacob is not a Christian. That is grievous. But his whole life he's been in under the preached word. And he knows truth. And he says what's being taught is terrible at most of the army chaplains and where they meet and how they gather. He said it's mainly, it goes back to be positive. All the positive thinking stuff. They just will get their teaching from Oprah. That's how bad it is. What's sad is that that's what's influenced most of the people today. That's what's sad. Lord, help us. God is working in and through you and I in His church. He is working ultimately for His glory. And He's doing this through you and me. He uses people. Listen, if you were saved, you are part of God's chosen team. The question is, are you doing your part? God has empowered you and I for His work and for His glory. He has also made us stewards of what He's given us. This kind of scares me. I can be lazy. How about y'all? A good steward is not lazy. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4, please, if you're able. Verse 21 of chapter 3. I think most of us understand what's going on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We know that there's a division at the church at Corinth. They're a very, very carnal church. That's what Paul tells them in verse 1 of chapter 3. And what this church has started doing is that they're starting to get behind different people. Some of them saying, well, I like how Apollos preaches. I like his charisma, so I'm going to follow him. This one says, well, I like how Paul preaches. That one says, well, I like how Peter preaches. Well, I'm going to follow Christ. You get those who get real spiritual. So there's a division going on here. And of course, Paul has to rebuke them. In verse 21, he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Listen, God's given you Apollos, He's given you Paul, He's given you Peter, not just one of them. Listen to them. They're all three preaching the Word of God. You may not like their manner, but they're preaching. This has been on my mind for a couple of weeks now, and I was thinking back. When I was a younger preacher, I used to do a lot more hollering in my preaching. And there was kids in the nursery one day, and they asked Miss Toya, who's Brother Jimmy mad at? Wasn't mad. Just preaching the Word of God. Not everybody likes a preacher that preaches loud. Not everybody likes a preacher that preaches soft. The point he's making here doesn't matter if you like their delivery, but what is it that they are delivering? Is it the Word of God? There's a certain preacher, I love him, I enjoy listening to him. But I know other people that say they have a hard time listening to him because of, they said it sounds like he's talking out of his nose the whole time. But when you hear this man teach and preach, you're getting fed the Word of God. Even though it may sound like he's from Pine. You're getting fed the Word of God. So what do? Well, you get past those things you don't like. The outward things, the fleshly things. And you take heed to what's being taught. What's being preached, because it is the Word of God. And you grow. He says, verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the one or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Chapter 4. Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ, notice this, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewards in this verse speaks of the apostles and other teachers as stewards or ministers of the gospel, if you keep it in context here, and administrator. Someone who's been entrusted with the gospel. If you're saved here this morning, you have been entrusted with the gospel. to proclaim the gospel. A steward must be faithful. Faithful in this verse means faithful to do in duty to oneself and to others of true fidelity. Especially of servants, ministers who are faithful in the performance of duty. Notice in this verse that they are faithful in the mysteries of God. Verse 1. As stewards of the mysteries of God. Mystery in this verse is something into which one must be initiated or instructed before it can be known. Something of itself not obvious and above human insight. In the New Testament, spoken of facts, doctrines, principles not previously revealed. Christ has been revealed to you and I in the New Testament, hasn't He? And this is what God has entrusted you and I with. The Word of God. And it's so important. Listen, does anybody here know everything about the Bible? Raise your hand. None of us do. We're always learning. I trust that there are things that we are grounded in when it comes to the Word of God that we will not move. Amen. And we're always learning. But when someone is saved, how much of the Bible do they actually know? How much of it is real to them? They must be instructed before it can be known. You know, and so many things are hard to be Even Peter said that about Paul. He said, our beloved brother, some of the things he said is hard to be taken, hard to accept, but yet it's truth. And we find that the more and more we learn from the Word of God, the more freedom that we have. If you go back to Galatians, these Judaizers was coming in and they were taking away the freedoms that they had in Christ. Trying to put them back under a yoke of bondage. It said that you got to do this, and you can't do this. A yoke that no one has ever been able to bear. You know, I can do anything I want to do. Oh, be careful now. You're a preacher of the gospel, yeah. I can do anything that I want to do. But because I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are many things I don't want to do. There are many places I don't want to go. There are many things I don't want to say. There are thoughts I don't want to think. It's all because I love Him because He first loved me. So that's that radical transformation that takes place in someone's life and the Lord saves them. Amen. Totally different. We must be faithful stewards in what God has given us to do and what God has given us to say. The Scriptures are mysteries to the lost. They can learn it. They can be book smart about it, but it's still a mystery to them. When the Lord saves a lost person, they must be instructed in the facts, doctrines, principles, etc. of the Scriptures. That's why it's so important that you and I are part of a local church that's teaching and preaching the Word of God. Not thriving on feelings and emotions and positivity stuff. Why? Because these mysteries are things they did not previously understand. Understand that this responsibility rests on all whom the Lord saves, not just the elders of the church. I heard Vody Bachman, a tremendous preacher. I encourage you to go listen to him. I heard him say this. And I'm not going to say it word for word because I don't remember word for word, but I'll kind of break it down a little bit. If you hire somebody, or if there's someone on the job, and they've been on that job for 10 years, they should know what that job is, shouldn't they? You shouldn't have to hold their hand in every little thing, should you? They should know. They should mature in their job. Matter of fact, is it required? Most of us out here work, or have worked, or do work, whatever. Can you have somebody in your job for 10 years, Brother Clint? And have to tell that person every single thing to do? In 10 years, shouldn't they move up? Shouldn't they gain insight and help teach others under them coming up? And it should. If in 10 years that person can't do nothing, what's going to happen to her? Is she going to lose her job? Ain't going to make it 10 years. Right. 10 months, he ain't going to make it. He's going to get fired because he's not able to do his job. And here's the comparison that Vodi Bachman was making. What's sad is that you have people come in to the church house and in 10 years or 20 years, they're still babes in Christ because they don't grow in the Word of God. How sad is that? Now, I don't know how long y'all been saved. No idea. The Lord saved me a little over 20 years ago. Very thankful. Whoa. Amen. But where are you at spiritually? What do you know about the Word of God? Some of this would be a failure on my part for not teaching properly. But all the blame doesn't come on the pastor or the elders. You have a Bible, don't you? You're able to go home and study, aren't you? And that's what you should be doing. Not just to grow in knowledge, not just so I can say, look what I know about the attributes of God. And so much more. But to learn to glorify the Lord and to learn to teach others, to instruct others, that we're all building, built together, built up upon Jesus Christ, not some man, not some preacher, but built upon the Lord. If you're saved, you are part of God's chosen team. We should not be blown away by people just because we see much fruit in their ministry. And there are those who have more fruit than others. Amen. But we shouldn't say, well, I have no fruit like they do, so I'm just going to quit. No, you keep going, doing what you're doing. And you strive to learn about Christ, learn more about Christ. You grow. And you share with others. Be careful. Be sure that you know what you're sharing. We should not lift people up on high above others, but nor should we tear them down if they're preaching truth. Listen, these false heretics, false teachers in this world, call them out. The Joel Osteens, the Kenneth Copelands, the Creflo Dollars, the Paula Whites, Sarah Young, I think. The Jesus Calling Book and so many more. Call them out for who they are. They're false teachers. Don't follow what they say. They will lead you in the wrong direction. But someone who's teaching and preaching the Word of God, follow them as they follow Christ as an example. But don't put them on a pedestal. And don't be in competition and tear them down just because you want to be better than they are. No. We're not in competition with each other. Proclaim Christ. It helps if we don't forget where we were at and what we were doing when the Lord saved us. we should never get over the fact that God would save a wretch like me. Whew. What kind of people does God save and use? Look around, and then when you get home, look in the mirror and rejoice in that truth. Rejoice in that. First and foremost, no one in here is worthy to serve God in and of themselves. But we are worthy in and through Christ Jesus. Amen. And we serve Christ because of Christ. So in reality, like Paul, he was not trying to make a name for himself. Who was Paul promoting? Christ. Christ. Paul was not intimidated by others. He kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know Paul wanted to be the best he could be for Christ, didn't he? He would strive for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He strived for that, and we should too. If you are saved, again, you are part of God's chosen team. I'll leave you with this question. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? Let's pray.